WWE ring. One man who in one night changed the entire face of WWE history forever. And that man is, of course, Sting.
So let me address that elephant in the room right now, huh, Sting? Sting, I am not sure why you decided to come here. I'm not sure why you decided to stick your painted face in our business. Maybe it was some kind of attempt to stand in a ring with me for 30 seconds and make your career relevant somehow. What you really did was ensure the demise of the WWE, because without the authority and power, oh, I give this place maybe what, Steph? 2-3 weeks at best?
Hello and welcome to this week's Second Shift podcast, episode 30. We're getting old now. And yep, I'm going to name this episode the Sting episode. Yes, yeah. He is back. We're not back, he's in WWE even. So, yep. Little mark out moment for me, and that won't be the first time you get up throughout this show. Also this week, it's got a bit of an Irish theme, so we'll get on and introduce the guests. First up, we've got Kieran, or Kiwi Tuts.
Perfect pronunciation.
Thank you. I do try.
Thank you, Wayne. How are you? You well?
I'm good, thank you. How have you been doing?
Marvellous. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I've just finished listening to the AllWrestling.com Week in Review only just a few minutes ago as I was driving back from work. And I'm pumped up. I'm excited. I'm ready. And after Survivor Series, like you, matey, I am very full of positivity.
I was going to say. Also, if I pronounce the first one right, the second one is going to be incorrect. We've got Dermot. I don't know why I have to put the twang on. I'm sorry, mate. How are you?
I'm good. That was actually pretty solid pronunciation. You can give Dan a few lessons now before next week in review.
Oh, yeah. It feels like I'm taking the piss when I do it, though.
It's fair enough. I just finished watching Impact, so I wouldn't say that I'm quite as pumped up as Kiwi, but, you know, it was all right.
At least you get a few weeks break now, so...
And I'm glad about that, Dermot, as well, because I haven't watched Impact for a few weeks. So at least, Wayne, you got somebody to talk to about TNA.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's probably the first week we got up sort of brought up on emails, which is difficult. But I'm sure I can get TNA dragged in somehow. I might even have that as my free chat, so we'll definitely talk about it, just to lower your mood a little bit. Right, but we're going to start with emails, and we've got one this week, so that's a very poor turnout, guys. So if you can send an email to secondshiftpod@gmail.com, that'd be awesome. But good old Andy Anderson has been as reliable as ever, and he's got this to say. Hello, gents. Life can suck. I got my car stolen yesterday. Thankfully, the police found it today, but it cost me $200 to get it out of the impound. But even when sucky things happen, I can still be thankful. So since this is the week of Thanksgiving, I am thankful for this podcast and other podcasts from the hashtag All Wrestling Week in Review family. These shows allow me to listen to friendly people talk about things I like and helps me take my mind off the everyday troubles of life. And I guess I'm even thankful for Ant's contributions to the show. He's got it in there, the weekly Ant dig.
Suck up.
I'm also thankful for getting something different and some surprises at Survivor Series. Everyone and their mother were saying either Cena or Ryback was going to be the sole survivor, and we'd get Randy Orton come in and make it able for Team Cena to win. But we got something totally different. A totally new sole survivor in Dolph Ziggler and a Sting debut. I could hear Heavy Set and Wayne the Baker marking out from my living room. Also, on a separate note, do you see the stuff that is happening in Ferguson again postponing the New Day faction? Sorry for the long email. Double A with my emailed thought this week, and that has been my nickel. First talkable point, which is something different from Survivor Series. Did you see the shocker of Sting coming back happening at all? And were you thankful that it happened? Well, he's already touched on it. We'll start with Kiwi.
Well, I had rumblings I heard rumblings in the back of my mind, and from various other friends of mine in this community that heard rumours that Sting is making his way to St. Louis, Missouri for the pay-per-view. Now, I obviously there was the rumours going around, but if you were able to keep out the loop, then you may not have known about it. But I thought it was a fantastic and perfect way to bring Sting into the WWE. And the fact that at the final end of it all, that the sole survivor was Dolph Ziggler at the end of it. And people, not necessarily people in our community, but in various other wrestling forums that I participate in and speak to other ones.
Oh, you whore. You join other communities.
I get about it. But this is honestly the best one, though. I swear to God. And I've been open about that before.
That's what you tell all the groups.
No, I honestly swear. Anyways, but they thought that the whole of Sting's debut has overcast Dolph Ziggler being the sole survivor and saving the WWE universe from the authority, etc. I don't think so at all. I think Dolph Ziggler has been pushed to the moon by beating Seth Rollins and everybody else, and go out on Survivor Series. We heard Dolph Ziggler's theme tune and he put on such a great show, and I thought I was so happy with the result that we got, because I was up, jumping up, marking out, jumping out of my seat, and I was going absolutely loopy at the fact that Sting was there and Ziggler got the pin. It was just the perfect ending to a pay-per-view.
And that's exactly the point. They made Ziggler look gold, and people are still moaning at the WWE down on him because they had to overshadow him with Sting. That's unbelievable.
They get what they want,
and then they still moan. But hey ho. Right, Dermot, what did you think of the shockers that come at Survivor Series? Do you think that was a good pay per view and everything? Were you happy with what you were given?
Well, I don't know if I'd say the pay per view as a whole was great, but the main event I thought was really good and made up for anything that had gone before. I kind of have to completely agree with Kiwi. I thought the way it was booked was great. Dolph was made to look really strong, and it was just completely surprising. Like everyone else, I was kind of just expecting Cena to be the sole survivor. It was Team Cena and everything, and yeah, I just thought they made Dolph look great. Unfortunately for me, I was not watching the pay-per-view live, as it would have been finishing at 4 a.m. and I had to be up early the next day to teach, so I watched it on Monday afternoon, but I'd already had the fact that Sting was debuting spoiled for me, so that kind of ruined that mark-out moment a bit for me. I was just kind of waiting the whole pay-per-view to see Sting, but because I knew it was coming, it was always going to be hard to live up to my expectations, but yeah, I thought it was really good.
Right, and we'll go to the next and last point of this, which is with all the stuff that's happening in Ferguson again. Do you think that will affect the way they execute the New Day faction? Now, sorry guys for spoilers if you listen to this before SmackDown. Apparently, they're on SmackDown, so it don't look like it's halting them. But will it change the way they're used on the up-and-coming shows?
I wonder, Wayne. Well, firstly, I forgot, but my thoughts are with you, Andy Anderson. I'm glad you got your car back and all of that, and I hope you're okay. But firstly, I think they can still pull this off, but they can eke the storyline into as low level, I suppose, away from a Nation of Domination storyline, at least until what's happened in Ferguson, Missouri, just bears down and it quietens down and everybody can sort of chill out from that. And they could rejig it and turn them into three heels on the way towards WrestleMania, maybe, or maybe even after WrestleMania, anything like that. But I from what I've heard, it seems quite interesting from what they've been doing at house shows. So I think it's positive. I'm keeping an open mind about it. I'm not going to be I'm not feeling negative about what could happen here. So we'll just see what happens. But they could turn it up and turn it into a real sort of like anti-black faction, you know, about supporting black rights, etc. So let's see what happens, really. Keep an open mind and positivity.
You don't think then they're going to do a proper Vince move and poke the elephant in the room with a stick and go full out and use the Ferguson?
I don't think so. I think the WWE is almost cookie cutter at the moment in that retrospect, even though, you know, we could say, you know, that at, on Raw, you know, AJ was prodding the stick at the Bella Twins about being lesbians and all that type of stuff. But obviously this is it really is a nationwide issue for the United States at the moment, because the riots haven't been just happening in Missouri. They've been happening all over the country. Maybe they can do, and it may sow the seed for what their actual message is and what they're, you know, what they're going to do as a faction. We'll just have to wait and see, really.
We'll go with Dermot now. What are your thoughts of how they're going to deal with the Ferguson crossover with the New Day faction?
Yeah, well, I don't think they really need to do anything to address it at the moment, because the way New Day has been presented so far is completely cookie cutter clean baby faces. So like, it's all speculation that maybe there is an alternative motive behind it and maybe they'll change, but for the moment they can just continue to present them how they are, present them as faces with nothing else going on other than the fact that one is big, one is athletic, and one can fly, and just see how people react to that. And then maybe they will change it up. Maybe they always have been planning to have, you know, that Nation of Domination type thing going on, but we don't actually know what the long-term plan is for this group. So I think they can afford to just continue on the track that they've been on, not cause any controversy with the stuff that's going on in Ferguson at the moment, and then maybe at a later date, if they want to tweak it, they can. If they're not getting over or getting the desired reaction under their current billing.
I was sort of hoping, I can't believe I'm going with this, I can't believe I'm going to say it for a second time, that Devil Vamp is how I'd want this to be booked. And they're squeaky clean, happy music, gospel music, they come out, and then when they come, get down to the ring, they just turn evil and start beating the hell out of people, and then they just go off and be all happy again, and that's just, they're sort of extremes, and I just think that'd work perfectly. But again, we won't know until SmackDown Aurora, so there we go, we'll leave it there. We'll thank Andy Anderson for the email, and hopefully he can send another one next week. Tweet us on secondshiftpod@gmail.com and at secondshiftpod is our Twitter. Unfortunately, we're now being invaded by the pesky Americans, and joining us now, we've got the one and only Heavyset. How are you?
Greetings to all my fellow real American listeners out there and those fellow patriots. It's time to inject some America into the show.
Ew.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I like that. Ew. That's not polite, Kiwi.
Well, I hope it's a clean syringe, Heavy.
A clean syringe, Waddle. What do you want? Heroin? Is that something that you guys do over there in England?
No, you get it all from Jamaica. Shorter air miles, dear. I'm only joking.
Right.
Right, moving on.
Yeah, and I just realised I was doing that halfway through. But we'll move on to Survivor Series now. We'll quickly go through match by match and see what sort of pay-per-view we got out of it. We'll start with the pre-show, and I've got to admit, the hour-long pre-show, I actually really enjoyed. It was actually quite decent. I don't know what people expect from a pre-show, but people still moan. First up, we had Fandango with Rosa Mendez, where he beat Justin Gabriel. So, what did you think of it, Heavy? Or did you see it, or what have you, from the highlights that you've seen, what did you think of the new Fandango?
The highlights, because this is something that we talked about when we were talking on Raw, me, you and Devil Van. I like the new Fandango. What's sad is we were looking at this match prior to it. It's like, okay, who's Fandango going against? It's got to be a big return. It's got to be something. no, it turns out the real big return is just a better Fandango, and it's, oh yeah, Justin Gabriel. Yeah, it's a jobber match, basically. But I like the new presentation. I think, like I said, on BSJMP WrestleCast, which you can now find online, is they finally took a little bit of the corniness out, and they added some more Johnny Curtis to the character, and that's what's really been needed.
There we go, and we'll quickly go over to Kiwi. What are your did you see the pre-show?
Yes, I did. Yes.
What do you think of the new Fandango?
I agree with Heavy. I think it's great. It suits him down to the ground. I did think during the weekend that we knew that Fandango was going to come back on the pre-show. And I did think to myself, and I did say on my Tuts Experience podcast, I have my good friend Ian on the show. He's, we were talking about what it could be, and I thought there would be some type of a revamp of Fandango, but in a Latin style, because with Rosa Mendez, you know, even though she's a Canadian, she's portraying a Puerto Rican, that there is going to be some type of Latin influence in his revamp, and it turned out to be so, and I quite like it. It suits him. You know, he could be a personality who that could be taken straight off Dancing with the Stars or from Strictly Come Dancing, and just thrown into a wrestling ring, but can wrestle incredibly well. And you know, I thought it was quite cool, and it was good to see Bad News Barrett back too. And it looks like that he's going to be coming back as a face as well. So that's quite cool.
If we've learned anything over the years, we have learned Canadians can play any type of nationality. They have played Italians, Mexicans, and even British.
Yeah, that's true. And they do it so well, actually. They're the true chameleons of the world.
There we go. And Dermot, what are your thoughts of the new Fandango?
Yeah, well, I didn't actually see the pre-show, but I did see Fandango presented on Raw.
And that was exactly the same, to be honest.
Yeah, so. I like the new twist on the music. It's kind of giving him sort of a more serious feel, because obviously the music he had before, everyone was dancing along and singing to it, but it wasn't really doing much for his character if he's meant to be a heel. So I think I like the new presentation. I'm not sure about Rosa Mendez's dancing, to be honest, but we'll see as the weeks go by. It's interesting. I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm not completely convinced yet, but I'm willing to see where it goes.
Right, moving on. Also in the pre-show, we had the little, I'd say, the return of Bad News Barrett. Obviously, you wouldn't have seen this, Dermot, so we'll go with Kiwi on it. What did you think? And are you surprised they didn't use him on Raw?
Yeah, so am I. I was surprised about that he wasn't on Raw. I thought at least they'd give him 5 minutes to go and have a rant and sort of like get people excited still, you know, reference Sting and the magnitude of Dolph Ziggler's win, maybe. And just reflect on Survivor Series and what can happen now. The Authority have gone from being in charge of Raw and SmackDown. So I was shocked, but I thought his showing on the pre-show was really good, and it was entertaining, entertaining as always. Hopefully he can start finding a bit more of a regular appearance, and maybe on SmackDown he can he'll come out, I hope. But at least I hope he'll make a bit more of a regular appearance soon.
And Heavy, I don't know if you saw Bad News Barrett. If not, what did you think of the Jack Swagger Cesaro match that they, for some reason, dumped at the end of the pre-show? And does that make sense with him actually being taken out the main event?
I thought, seeing how this kind of went down, it was almost, and what happened on Raw, that this was more of a catapult to help Swagger get back into a little bit of relevancy.
Yeah, I forgot, because he had that Ding Dong of Rusev, didn't he, on Raw? I suppose that was all just to build him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Kiwi, what are your thoughts on the Swagger's appearance on the pre-show?
No, it was nice to see them get a little match in before the main card. And I didn't really think much of it, to be honest. I don't know what can happen to Swagger now and what he's going to be doing. I mean, they did flutter with the idea of going back with doing a feud with Rusev, I suppose, from what we saw on Raw. But I don't know what to think of it. It's all a bit of an open door policy at the moment with Swagger. It could go any way, really.
Yeah, it does look pretty nailed on that it's going to be Swagger and Rusev again. So we'll leave it there. Unless, Dermot, you got something to add to it?
Well, I just wanted to ask about the pre-show about Bad News Barrett. Did he actually mention his Intercontinental title at all, since he never actually lost it?
Not what I can remember, no. That was just, he was more talking about the main event and the ramifications about what happens if each side. So I think that's going to be more Harper and Rowan and that for the title by the look of it at the moment.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It kind of looks like they're starting Rowan on the Big Show as well. So,
oh, yes, I forget about that. Sorry, Raw has totally gone out of my mind at the moment. I can't seem to keep anything in my head about Raw. I don't know if that says anything about the episode.
I'm pretty sure you remember the first, like, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, probably very vaguely. I think after that is you were just coming down from all the ejaculation you were doing at that point.
I am, to be honest, I can only remember that ultra-long opening promo with the Daniel Bryan. Yeah, after that, it does tend to go blank.
And your second screen experience?
To be honest, I even forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about my girl Paige.
I still want Devil Vamp to release that audio, of if he still has it, of just you going, oh my god, it's Paige!
Unfortunately, my Skype recorder had actually had that, so I could release it. I might put it on as an Easter egg at the end of this show. Right. Heavy, damn you.
You're going to get everybody clamoring for it now.
There'll be more than one email next week. Everyone will be asking to hear.
I pointed out, which you guys will probably listen to later, of the WrestleCast, but not when Wayne hosts. He likes to go, right, moving on. And we spent the whole show doing that. So now that he's hosting, he's catching himself, and he's saying it, and he's getting halfway through, and then going, oh, fuck.
That is so true.
I might be able to eradicate it in the next coming weeks, but the rest of this episode is just going to be me swearing at myself. On to the next topic.
Play the second shift drinking game. Every time he says, right, moving on, take a shot.
Moving on to the next topic.
And the only one that's going to survive is the Irish one here.
Wasn't going to say anything.
Going on to the main show now. There'll be a lot of errs as well. We started the first main match with The Miz and Mizdale winning the tag team titles in the four-way match. The tag team matches have been like the highlights of the pay-per-views for me. How did you guys think that this one tallied up with the last year or so? And we'll start with Dermot.
Yeah, I thought it was a really enjoyable match. I liked the way the crowd was really getting involved. And like, it's an interesting dynamic to have a tag team where one member of the tag team is a big heel and the other one is really over with the crowd. So I really liked that aspect where Mizdow finally got the pin in the end and everyone was going nuts, but then Miz stole the belts. It was pretty cool. The match itself had a lot of spots, and a lot of them we've seen a lot of times before, especially the Usos and Stardust and Goldust. Like, that match has happened a lot of times now, so you just kind of see, you know what's going to happen before you even see it. But the Matadors being added in, they added in some new spots, but they're really not over at all. So yeah, Miz and Mizdow was the main highlight of the match. It was a pretty good match. Probably not the best tag team match we've seen on pay-per-view this year, but it wasn't bad.
Kiwi, what are your thoughts to the tag team match?
I agree with Dermot. I really enjoyed the match. And I was really interested to hear the responses of the crowd towards the Los Matadores, because there was no reaction there at all. And I don't know what on earth is going to happen to Epico and Primo, who are behind the masks, to to try and elicit a response from the crowd, because I don't think anything that they can do will be able to get themselves over, just in my view. But it was great to see at least Sandow win his first WWE championship. And I'm really excited about the future about The Miz and Damian Mizdow at the end of Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw. I think this can go on. I'm not so sure how long it can carry on for, and maybe for another couple of months or so. But I suppose that how this is going to play out is that that Damian Mizdow will be able to push on and have some type of gimmick where he just emanates his opponents and practically takes the mickey out of them, and then and beats them, maybe, I suppose. I don't know, but I'm excited to see where it's going to go. And for me, at the moment, I don't think Damian Mizdow can do anything wrong. He's doing everything that's right in his current status at the moment.
And Heavy, what are your thoughts on Miz and Mizdow getting those belts?
I'm more or less shocked that WWE finally strapped a team that we wanted to see with the titles. I mean, granted, the Usos were kind of, but there's been a lot of makeshift tag teams over the years that I feel like should have been tag team champions but weren't. We had the Road Scholars, who they didn't get anything. There was Primetime Players. It looked like they could have been tag team champions, but they weren't. And I know that there's a massive list, but to actually strap them is crazy. I mean, I'm crazy in a good way that they actually did it. And I know when I made the pick on WrestleCast, I was like, this is what I want them to do. I don't think they're going to do it, but I'm still going to pick them. And I'm just more shocked than anything.
Next up on the night was the third longest match of the night. And no, it wasn't the Bray Wyatt Ambrose match. It was the traditional Divas Survivor Series match. What are your thoughts on this, Dermot?
I don't have many thoughts on it, to be honest. It was fine. It was, you know, yeah, we're going to make fun of my accent.
I thought you were going to say toilet break.
To be honest, it kind of was my toilet break. But yeah, I suppose they wanted a face victory. I don't think any of the faces were eliminated, were they? So wanted to get the crowd a bit happy, but I don't know. Match didn't do much for me. I did like the move right at the end that Naomi did on Paige to eliminate her. That was something I hadn't seen before. But other than that, the match didn't do much for me personally.
Kiwi, did you enjoy a little bit more?
I did to a certain extent, actually. I'm glad that the WWE actually gave them some time to work on it, and I think
I just wish it weren't at the expense of the actual main title match. But
no, I know what you mean. But I just think it was good to give some time to the ladies. I think it boosts a little bit of their confidence, I suppose, because I'm sure that they're a bit rock bottom because, you know, of their status at the moment within the WWE, in the fact that, you know, the wrestling fans don't really care so much. So it was their opportunity to go and make the best of it. And certain people made the best of it and some didn't. I mean, honestly, there wasn't so much wrestling. There wasn't so much connectivity between the pair to any of them. Just there are a few spots which were a bit sticky and a bit hesitant between them, but you're going to get that in a WWE Divas match, I suppose. But no, I was quite happy with Paige's role within that match, and you know, pushing around her teammates. And I'm like Heavy, really. I love Natalia, and whenever her and Tyson Kidd come up, it was hilarious, and especially the crowd interacting with Tyson Kidd while he was stood there with Natty and the team there and the crowd chanting Natty's husband was hilarious, and I enjoyed that.
And Heavy, do you think, is that the correct way of doing the Divas matches across the night? Would you have half the time on each?
Yeah, the thing that really got me is it's exactly what I expected it to be. Like the face win, I think when we were predicting it on WrestleCast, Devil Vamp was like, as he picked it, he's like, because Natty can't win a match to save her life. And I'm just like, yeah, this is a Survivor Series match, and there was a big win last year with her, and it was either Naomi or Cameron, the sole survivors. I'm like, this is gonna be the equivalent of it. There wasn't much build to it, and it's gonna help the crowd. It is what it is. The Divas division has a lot of work that it needs to do. There's a lot of stuff there that I could suggest, but I mean that's only gonna go so far.
Next up on the night, we had probably the second best match of the night. Bray Wyatt defeated Dean Ambrose by disqualification. I thought this was a great match. The ending at first I was annoyed with, but then it made a lot of sense instantly when he just started dragging out the tables and the ladder at the end. So, Heavy, what did you think of how they handled the Wyatt match, and are you looking forward to the TLC rematch?
Yeah, I think this is a feud that you couldn't do just a one-off, so you got to give them something to where, okay, disqualification, that's going to lead to a TLC match or whatever it's leading to. I think it's TLC they announced. Only thing when it comes down to it, I hope I can see this live.
Oh, yeah, because it's from your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you...
Expensive.
Is that the only stumbling block at the moment, is it?
It depends. I don't want to sit in nosebleeds. I've talked about this kind of before when I went to Unforgiven. I only paid a little under $200 for second row seats, and those same seats now are like $500. And
so how much has the inflation been? When was the Unforgiven?
It's not, I don't think it's inflation. I think it's they thought Unforgiven, which was in 2008, I think they're like, it's kind of a crappy pay-per-view. It's whatever. We're going to charge these low prices. They actually charge almost the same prices as they do for Raw. But now that it's this pay-per-view and they act like TLC is something huge, like it's a Royal Rumble or something, it's like, oh yeah, $500. And I'm like, I was looking, I found some tickets on eBay and they might be gone by now, but my price range is only like $200 a ticket, if that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's
quite reasonable, actually.
It's just, I'd rather do nosebleeds than nothing at all. Like I said, I've messed up the last two Raws that I've gone to and ended up in the nosebleeds, but I'd rather do nosebleeds than nothing at all. But that's my opinion. I can fully understand why people don't want to be in the action, but sort of on the outside looking in.
Maybe I can be like you and meet Jerry Lawler. I'm kidding. I want to meet Natalya.
Well, I don't blame you, Heavy. Well, especially when you're in the United States and you get all the pay-per-views, obviously. You want to go there for a decent experience and be there right at the front. So that makes sense, you know, or at least near the front.
500 smackers is a lot for 2 hours or 2 or 3 hours, and it's
ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's an experience to be that close. When I went, the timekeeper's box was right beside me. I had the last seat right before it,
and you actually had Jericho and Thingy come past you, didn't you?
Yeah, Jericho and Shawn Michaels when they went on the crowd briefly. I can see briefly on Cameron, like that action was close, and I mean that was awesome.
That is an experience at the end of the day. You won't be getting that up in the nosebleeds, so...
No way. And it's one of the very few pay-per-views, the one that Heavy went to, that I've actually got on a standalone DVD myself, because it was that great.
Right, back to... I don't know how we managed to get on this.
Right, moving on.
Did I kill the conversation, did I? Sorry.
But, Dermot, what were your thoughts on the Ambrose-Wyatt match?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, it probably could have been given a bit more time, maybe a bit less time to the previous Divas match. But anyway, I liked it, and I especially liked the way like it kind of went back to the Bray Wyatt John Cena WrestleMania match when he gave him the chair and asked him to hit him, and I kind of marked out when Dean Ambrose actually did it, because I would have been really like upset if Dean Ambrose hadn't have done it, because those are two of my favorite characters at the moment, Wyatt and Ambrose, and I thought they like the psychology worked pretty well. Like you, I was a bit disappointed when the match ended so soon, but I can see that it's building to the TLC match, and I'm looking forward to that match. I think it'll suit both of their styles, that kind of hardcore anything goes. Obviously, Dean Ambrose with his background in CZW and all the great Falls Counts Anywhere matches that he had with The Shield is really good in that environment, and I think it should make for a really good match. So yeah, I enjoyed this match, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
I can't remember, Kiwi. Are you a Bray Wyatt, Mark? And if so, what did you think of the way they handled him in this match?
Well, relatively. I thought they handled him quite well, and then the next night on Raw, you know, he got his retribution almost, really. No, and I enjoyed it exactly the same as Dermot does. I thought it was a good use of them. I knew going into Survivor Series that they're going to extend this at least to TLC or maybe even to the Royal Rumble. And it was to be expected, really, with the outcome. I was expecting a DQ. I wasn't expecting which... I wasn't too sure on what side would get the DQ win or, you know, who will be DQ'd. But I was thoroughly enjoyed with it. I think they work well together. And I'm interested to see which way the... I was interested to see where it's going to go. And I think it's going to be good. I'm really excited about it, actually. Even more so than what I used to be. Well, before Survivor Series.
Right, moving on. Oh, damn. Next up was Adam Rose and the Bunny. I'm not even going to waste time on this because they've already wasted 2 minutes 36 seconds of my life.
Nikki You're Bella. Wasting time already talking about it.
Nikki Bella and AJ Lee. The only thing I'm going to go around and ask you guys is why? Because why? I actually quite like the Nikki Bella. And there we go. Why? Heavy. You can start us off.
You know why? You know what?
You know what?
I like it.
You thought that was the right way of doing it? You think it's more of a build for the next one again?
It's going to be a build for a longer storyline. Because if AJ would have won straight up, it just would have been her moving on and what all this. It looks like what I had said before is, if we spend so much time on AJ and Paige of just those two, now that there's going to be a little bit more depth in this storyline already.
Yeah, actually, I think withholding some of it creates more intrigue than getting the same match for 7 months or however long we had AJ and Paige for. So, Kiwi, what are your thoughts on the Divas title match?
I'm with Heavy. I quite liked it. It just changes things up. I think there is a new dynamic to this storyline now, much more interesting, I think, than the way that AJ and Paige's storyline went on. And I'm interested. I mean, I wasn't really expecting Daniel Bryan to say or do anything with Bree's actions at Survivor Series on Raw, but no, I'm quite enjoying it, and I'm going to see where this goes, of course. And it's going to be a lot more intriguing than I think what we could have had with, like, AJ just retaining the title and then possibly having a triple threat match at TLC and seeing where that went. But, no, I'm happy for the way that the Divas title is being used at the moment.
DM, did you use this as another toilet break? Because if so, you would have missed the start of the Elimination Survivor Series.
No, actually, despite what I was saying about the other match, I was actually kind of looking forward to this match. I thought it had been built quite well, but I think what they did has definitely added more intrigue to the story, and I'm sure we will get the match at the next pay-per-view. It was kind of weird the way they... Brie hasn't really said anything about why she did what she did so far. I don't know if they are going to do that at some stage, but if not, it's a bit weird that she's been Nikki's personal slave for the last month and all of a sudden she's back being her best friend, best sisters in the world.
But, I was going to say, does she still wish she died in the womb?
Yeah, I hope we're going to get some explanation at some stage, but it's certainly intriguing anyway.
Then we come to the main event, which you could pretty much say was the whole event, really. That's the only match I really sort of got behind and pushed. And for good reason, because it was awesome. It had everything for me. And we'll start with Heavy. What was it worth sacrificing the event for this main event? Heavy?
Anytime now.
Right, we'll start with Kiwi then. Was it worth sacrificing the event, Kiwi, for this? Because for me, I actually think it could have been.
It could have been what? Oh, yes, it could have been. Yes, yes, no, certainly. I think it's certainly the whole event was in this pay-per-view and this match was just incredible. I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of it from the beginning of Mark Henry just like before, you know, getting all psyched up and the Big Show just knocking him out. The only part of the match which I really didn't care is the Big Show knocking out John Cena. And John Cena being eliminated, of course, but as I posted on Twitter the other yesterday, the amount of heel turns and face turns that the Big Show has had, we're almost nearing on 20 since he debuted in February of 1999.
We had this discussion on WrestleCast. I think that was Kane was on 19 and Big Show was 24, weren't he?
The count that I had heard on Justin LaBar's show, Wrestling Reality, because he brought it up, and he was reading it was 12 and 12. Jeez. 12 face turns, 12 heel turns.
Deary me.
They even count, which it could be, what your count could be different, of if he was heel and then he left for an injury or something, but he came back as a face, they count it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would do too. I mean, it's just, it's nearing on ridiculous for us, you know, sort of hardcore fans, just like flip flopping. And I don't understand why they've had to do that to try and keep them relevant and fresh. I don't know, but it just means silly to me. But the ending was fantastic. I loved it. I marked out crazy for it. And I love the fact that Dolph Ziggler, you know, had the main story in this elimination match. And I thought it was brilliant. There's nothing real bad I could say about it other than the Big Show just turning it up. But if he's going to have this match with or feud with Eric Rowan, I'm quite interested in it. And I quite enjoyed that moment in Raw. So we'll see how that goes. But honestly, I was very, very happy, and I was quite happy for them to sacrifice sort of like the build for the rest of the pay-per-view for this incredible match and Sting's debut.
Dermot, was this top four pay-per-view quality, this main event?
For me, yeah, it was. I mean, this will be one of the lasting images from this year in wrestling will be Dolph Ziggler being the sole survivor and Sting's debut. So yeah, for me, it had great wrestling in the match. It was given lots of time, created new storylines for going forward from here, and the ending speaks for itself. It's one of the last historic moments that a lot of people have been waiting to see, and now it's finally happened. So yeah, for me, it was worthy of being one of the big four.
And Heavy, I asked you earlier, but you weren't available. Was it worth sacrificing the pay-per-view for this main event?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. This pay-per-view has, for over the past couple years, has really actually come back in the light of actually meaning something. It's, I think, partial of which they finally got rid of Battleground. Well, they didn't get rid of Battleground, but they moved it to a different time of the year so they can actually have these Survivor Series matches mean something. And we have had, of the past 3 years, there's been two really good endings. One with the Shield debuting and Dolph being the sole survivor with Sting debuting. It's been, oddly enough, it's been great ever since we had Cena and Rock versus R-Truth and Miz, which completely bombed. And it seems like then, since then, they've been trying to really revive this pay-per-view.
Yeah, definitely. It's not as bad state as everyone keeps on about, because every year everyone tries to take a shit on Survivor Series, but that's the pay-per-view that consistently has standout moments like debuts and stuff, and they've carried it on again this year, so long may that last. I was going to say it again, you sod. We'll go on to One Up, One Down now, from the whole week. We'll keep you on now, Heavy, again. What was your one-up? And I'm guessing that'll probably be Dolph.
Nope, you're going to... Nope, nope.
Nope. It's something that I forgot to mention on WrestleCast last night, and nobody brought it up, but the debut promo for Kevin Owens.
That's my God, yeah.
Ah.
Because I saw your uploads to GroupMe before actual NXT, and I just thought that was just some saddo making it up at home and doing it. And I thought, oh, obviously there's a rumor coming. But then I watched NXT, and that was actually the promo. And I was, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm sure everyone else is.
Epic.
So, how do you reckon they're going to use him then? What sort of, who will be his first feud?
He has to be interjected somehow with Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville.
Oh, going those straight are... in at the top then.
But I don't know if it's going to be for the belt. I don't like, because he has so much history with Sami Zayn. But I don't know whether they're going to go, okay, we're friends, or they're going to go, we're bitter enemies, because they can go either way with these two, and it's going to be fantastic. But that's what I would be willing to bet that they do it on. The only other one that they would could do is Finn Balor and what's his nuts? Yoshitatsu 2.0. I don't know.
I like Yoshi's nuts.
Yoshitatsu without a broken neck.
Oh yeah, I did see that. That was awful.
So what's your one down then?
Let me see. My one down. Everybody hating on the anonymous Raw general manager coming back for 1 week.
Yeah, you actually marked out.
We had this talk about it. When we were watching it, I was 30 seconds ahead of Vamp and Wayne. And when I heard the blink, I'm like, oh, no. I mean, it surprised me. I kind of marked out a little bit. And they were like, oh, my God, what is it? Daniel Bryan heel turn? What's going on? What's going on? I'm like, just wait for it. Just wait for it. And then when they heard it, it was, oh.
It was exactly that.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest storyline in the world, and I think Dan brought it up too, and it was exactly how I feel about it. This could be a fix for that storyline, because people have bitched about it for years. So now it's kind of like, all right, we can, as the analogy I used last night, they could do Saul, all over, like their version of Saul, like, oh, just when you think you know who's behind it, no, it's not Hornswoggle, it's this person. And I mean, granted, this could go on forever, but just the fact that they could rewrite that wrong.
Do you reckon that'll be really good. 1 week, keep this weekly GM thing going, or do you reckon this could be a semi-fix for the time being?
I think it's 1 week. I think they're going to come out with new Raw GMs week by week. I think we're going to see some old faces.
It's going to be Laurinaitis in 1 week, isn't it? Which, people again, you'd power. Be happy with, yeah.
Oh. You're out of line! You're out of line! I mean, they could do Austin too. Maybe, baby, they can do Dusty Rhodes, baby.
You had to get it on here, didn't you?
I haven't done it on the other show for like a month, so fuck off. In the words of Claire, fuck off.
Right. Ah. Go to
moving on.
Yeah.
Go you were going to say it, weren't you?
Yeah. Go to Dermaden. What's your one up then?
My one up, I was actually going to use the Kevin Owens thing maybe, but I'm going to just say NXT in general. I thought the show was really good this week, as it nearly always is, but I like the fact that they've started building towards the next special, as they call them, and
that's looking awesome, that next special. Yeah. It's getting a hell of a build all round.
And I'm really looking forward to the Finn Balor-Tyson Kidd match coming up this week on NXT. I think Finn Balor, since his debut, has just been really, really good. Only a little bit biased because he's Irish, but like, I think he's presenting himself really well in everything he's done, and he looks like a star.
I just think I really look forward to that match, and I hope we'll get a good 10-minute match before the Ascension come out and ruin it. Because they're nearly certain to, but yeah, NXT is just awesome. I'm going to do a call next week for the week in review, and yeah, you'll see how much I love NXT then. What's your one down?
My one down is, unfortunately, the TNA taping schedule. Like, it's not their fault. I understand they have to do it the way they do it, but like, for example, this week on Impact, the X Division title match, like, it was a good match, but the crowd was just so dead for that match, and I thought it was unfair on the workers because they were putting on a good show, but like, I don't know how many hours of Impact tapings people had sat through by the time they got to that match, and what order everything was taped in, because I believe they tape everything in really weird order, so like, title changes have already happened before you see the match and stuff, so I don't know. It just, the crowd just feels really flat for the last few weeks because whatever way they tape it, it's just, they've seen so much wrestling by the time that they're on these shows that they're currently showing that it's just kind of taking away from the product for me. The crowd can make a really big difference, like.
Yeah, and that's one of the few things DRG will actually criticize him for. If you go back and listen to last night's WrestleCast, even DRG said that these last set of tapings just haven't worked because of the out of order taping and the crowd, and just, it has been a damp squid, and the only thing you can put it down, it's not been the storyline progression or the actual work, because that's been just as good as the New York tapings, but the quality of the programming, the only difference is the crowd, and that really does show. If you've got a good crowd, that can cover up a multitude of sins. So,
yeah, so do you think they'd be better off doing like what they do on SmackDown, what WWE is, and piping in some crowd noise to make things seem more exciting?
They do, unfortunately. Apparently, like, someone countered on I can't remember what podcast it was, so I can't give you credit, but they countered the same intro into with the crowd, but just mixed up who they shoo in the crowd for about 6 weeks. So you had the same girl going woo doing that in like the start for 6 weeks, so they are bodging the crowd and trying to make it look good, and it's still not coming across very well. But hopefully the reboot in January will just get it going again, so you can look at that as a fresh start, and hopefully they'll do it. But the only thing, like I said on WrestleCast last night, I'm a bit worried about seeing it in the end of January, because we worked out that's going to be like 2 to 3 months ahead of where they'll be on television when I see them at Wembley, if they're all tapings. So I'm going to be the end of the cluster that is TNA tapings. So I'll be able to say firsthand if what it is like for the crowd, because I can't imagine what that's like going through stories that had not even been touched on and title changes being muddled, and that'll be interesting. Going on to Kiwi then, what's your one up for the week?
Well, I was going to do what Adama did with NXT, because I'm drooling at the thought of Tyson Kidd versus Finn Balor. But I'm going to just change it up, and it's something that myself and you have, Wayne, have said, you know, ever since Sunday or Monday morning for us, is that the debut of Sting I thought was perfect, and it looks like maybe we're going to have Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania. I will quite look forward to that. I think Triple H sold the Scorpion Death Drop brilliantly. I thought he really hit it with some, you know, force in the middle of the ring, and I thought it was a perfect use of Sting. Really do.
Yeah, I'm not going to criticise anything on this debut. It's just speaks for itself, and the fact that Carter is going to be rolling his eyes now again.
Going on
a Sting, oh fuck's sake. But
I don't like Sting, blah blah blah. Drink bleach.
He suddenly broke over the pool.
Ow!
That's the best Kiwi impression I've ever heard.
I don't know. I've got compliments on doing the impression of you.
Oh, I know. They were epic, I must admit, heavy.
I just don't understand why. I understand if they were using him as a week-in, week-out worker, but the fact that you're just going to get little appearances in one match at Mania, can't you just let the people have their moment and enjoy this moment of the person that's never used WWE finally have his WrestleMania moment? It's not like you're going to get him every week. So,
exactly, and we don't expect him to be there every week. I mean, we expect him to be on a few Raws beforehand, maybe,
you know, appearances at pay-per-views maybe sometimes, you know, at Royal Rumble maybe, and maybe
they're going to use him like the start of the Crow Sting on WCW. It will just be glimpses, and he'll be interfering to help the faces over until WrestleMania, and then that might be, like you say, the handful of Raws beforehand. Triple H goes, that's it, I've had enough, I'm going to want control back, or whatever, or that will be some sort of thing, and it's, or he'll hold Sting responsible for losing the company, so he'll try and get Sting into a match, and that's it. You're not going to get him every week doing skits with Adam Rose and stuff. I can't understand why people can't just let it go. So there we go. He'll sing Frozen in a minute, if he will, I know, for saying that, but
let it go.
Can I just ask, since you were saying that it was perfect the way he debuted, what did you think of the music?
I knew someone was going to ask this. Gutted they didn't use the original, but not that bothered either. It's music at the end of the day, and they kept it in the same vein as his old one. What did you think, Kiwi?
I know, I felt exactly the same way as you did, Wayne. I was a bit, oh, we're not going to have his, you know, his epic WCW theme, but his Crow theme. But no, I was quite happy with it. As long as it's a sort of like a deep and sinister type of music, which it was and it is, I'm happy with it. I just thought, yes, it is music, but still, I enjoyed the moment, and I thought the dramatic music in the background when he came down to the ring was fantastic, and still a mark out moment.
Heavy, we never actually talked about the music on last night's WrestleCast. What are your thoughts about it?
It sucked. I was definitely wanting more of the Crows. Even if they did what they did with Goldberg. When Goldberg first came to WWE, the first week they gave him his old music. And then the next week they changed it. So I thought they could have done that, especially for Sting, for at least his first time out, or did some sort of a mashup where it's like, okay, this is the old theme, but if you listen really carefully, there's some modernized stuff to it, and that could have been like a transition theme to the next one that they want to use, but that is what it is.
I would have loved the 2K15 theme, personally, but...
Oh, yeah. That would have been awesome, too.
It would have been great. I would have enjoyed that.
But I'm not letting something as a 20-second bit of music before every match going to ruin something that everyone's been waiting like near 20 years for, so that's fine. What did you think, Dermot?
I've seen a lot of people giving out about it. That's why I was curious. Like, I know WWE always want to present things their own way, and kind of like Heavy said, I would have liked if they had just at least kept his old music for one night and then moved on to something else. But the actual music that they did use, I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making out. I used it on my call in the Week in Review this week. I kind of like it. Although I have heard a lot of people saying that it's just a remix of the music that Undertaker and Big Show used when they were the Unholy Alliance or whatever they were called.
Ah, that's where I heard it. Ah, thank you, Dermot.
And the video at the start, it looks very reminiscent of a lot of the footage they were using before re-debuting Bray Wyatt. So it's kind of like they just threw stuff together at last minute.
Oh, it's looking good for the quiz, Kiwi. You might have helped your match.
Ooh!
We'll go that far.
Other new theme then, we'll quickly go around. Eric Rowan's theme. What did you guys think? We'll go with Heavy.
I actually don't think I caught the theme. Or maybe I did, and I just don't recall it, so that says a lot at the same time.
It's hard to describe. It's just like a banjo and sort of twinkly, sort of sinister. What did you think of it, Kiwi?
I think it was really kooky, you know. It was really odd. It was very strange. But I think it suits his personality down to the ground, really. It was sort of like that swampy type of sitting at the side of a river or something, playing the banjo, and it's just some strange, weird things going on. So, no, I thought it suited him quite well.
Dermot, what do you think? Well, obviously they had to separate him from Harper.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it suits his character perfectly. Like, it's got the backwoods banjo feel, but at the same time, it's like, it's really weird piece of music. There's parts of it that are like kind of have this childlike innocence to them, but at the same time, it's kind of sinister. So yeah, I think it suits the character that he's portraying really well. I was really happy with the new music.
And I'm going down on record now saying it's not popular because everyone's like, who cares, get rid of it. I'm actually starting to really take to Eric Rowe, and I'm loving his character, and I'm loving the fact that like he's doing this like childlike sort of just one word phrase, like he's got the mentality of a child, and I like the fact that he's playing with a Rubik's Cube really randomly. And someone said it last night on DSJMP, like, just, I think it was Katie, where it's just like, hopefully one week you'll just lift it up and suddenly that'll be like done, and I'll be like, oh.
Then he can start playing Jenga or something. Or Connect Four.
I think we've got one down for Kiwi left, and that's it, and
well, it's not due much time, but my one down's the bunny, and then they had the rose thing.
You had to drag it up. I tried avoiding it.
Well, I'll tell you what, just the only funniest thing that they have ever done is that WWE put up a vine of Adam Rose on Main Event with the bunny in the back, and then Adam Rose was telling the bunny off. I think it may have been last week, saying, remember, bunny, no humping. And I found that hilarious, but in his own particular way. But that was the only funniest thing that I thought about. So anyway, I'll shut up, man.
That is, you have got to do an Adam Rose impression for Week in Review. That was spot on.
I think you're maybe giving me ideas here, darling.
That was awesome. Bunny!
Are you going to be his bunny?
Right, this is a whole new kettle of fish.
I'm going to be his rampant buddy heavy.
Right, that's enough. That
are,
is...
you gonna call, are you going to call Kiwi now?
Kiwi, call me.
I know I haven't got any international calls when I call Wayne either.
No, cheap, right? Right, going on to the quiz. This is going to be interesting.
Right, going on.
Right, moving on. Oh, God. I've never done a quiz before because it's obviously Ant wimping his way out. Because he don't dare do the answer the questions. And I've got to give credit to the lovely living legend for doing this afternoon.
Isn't he gorgeous?
I have asked the Raw anonymous manager the order, and he has come back with Heavy to go first. Do you know the rules for Who Am I?
No, I've never listened to the show whatsoever.
There we go. It's not like we've attempted this before, is it? So, basically, it is four statements progressively getting easier. You start off with the first statement, you'll get 4 points. The third statement is 3, 2, and 1, etc. And if you answer it and get it wrong, you'll be out and will get no points for the round. So we'll start off with this, which is the first one for 4 points. It is, I was born in Minneapolis. And that's still not got better. Minnesota in July 1972.
Is that like Massachusetts?
Difficulty, yes.
What if there's a Minneapolis, Massachusetts? That'd be like your worst nightmare place to live. Anyway, I'm going to guess out of one of two people, I have to go with Curtis Axel.
No.
Mm. If it's my second guess, I'll be pissed.
Is anyone else not for points? Or should I? No, sod it. I'm going to open up for points so someone can run away with it. Do anyone else... want to have a guess at that?
Do we lose anything for guessing wrong?
Well, if you lose, that's Heavy's points anyway, so it don't matter.
Oh, yeah. It's more or less up for grabs right now.
I got one.
Go on, then.
Is it X-Puck?
Yep.
Ah!
Really?
Yeah.
Way off.
1972. Whoa, was he right? Grand.
Wow, keep he's ancient. The time. So Kiwi has opened the score and with 4 points.
And that ends the quiz. No one else is getting 4 points.
4 points.
We're going to move on to Kiwi now.
Ooh, okay.
The first statement for this wrestler is, I was born on February 3rd, 1960 in Columbus, Georgia.
Columbus, Georgia.
Which I thought... that was Ohio, but I don't know my American geography.
Well, they got, like, two...
There's many different Columbuses.
Oh, right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Skip to the next one, Wayne, please.
For 3 points, I started my career in 1984 in the NWA before moving to the AWA in 1986 with my tag partner, who I stayed aligned with until 91.
Right.
God, this is a doozy.
Yeah. Well,
I think I know this one, but I could be wrong.
I think I know it too.
Go to the next one, Wayne, please.
Come on, Kiwi, we live life dangerously. You already got 4 points.
He don't have to, he's already got my four, sir. I signed with Chikara as a trainer and a wrestler in 2011 and won the annual tag team gauntlet match at King of Trios with my partner, the 1-2-3 Kid.
Oh my god. I know, you're all tearing your hair out.
No, it's not who I thought it was.
I wouldn't have had a clue.
No, because I don't watch Takara at all. Well, I saw one episode and I thought it was hilarious. I haven't managed to find a time to watch it. Go on, Wayne, next one, please.
You're going to get up with this one. This is the easy one. I never ever won WWF Tag Team Gold with my best known tag partner, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, Marty Jannetty!
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
See, I thought that Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels split up in... Oh, of course. Because friggin' SummerSlam 92. Yeah, oh dear. Oh, thank you.
So, Kiwi's on 5 then. So, moving on to Dermot. We'll start with the first one, which is... I was born on December 15th, 1979... in Florence, Ontario, oh fuck's sake, Canada.
Florence, Ontario, 1979.
I don't know whether we need to get you a speech class or geography class. We're both.
Both.
Well, I don't know. Move on to the next one there.
I am a former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, one-time X Division Champion, a two-time Legends Global Television Champion, and a three-time World Tag Team Champion.
And you said he was born in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's TNA World Champion born in Canada. I'm thinking of one and two people. I'm going to go for Eric Young.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done.
So, Dermot's on 3, Kiwi's on 5, and Heavy had... Yes, he has. So, we're now going back round again.
I want to phone a friend, Katie, the First Lady.
This isn't all who wants to be a millionaire. So, your next one, Heavy, is... I was born on March 17th, 1075...
What?
That is not right. I think Living Legend has made a slight boo-boo there.
I know!
1075, so this is more his era. In Whitby, Ontario. I'm guessing it's 1975.
1975. Ontario, Canada. Next one.
I trained by Bret Hart, among others. I made my professional debut in 97. So this is proper your era.
I'm between two people. Maybe three. Do I go for the gold? Or do I wait? Next one.
I am a one-time Intercontinental Champion, a one-time European Champion, and a two-time Hardcore Champion.
This is a difficult.
It's a good one.
Lance Storm.
That is incorrect. The last clue, we'll go with it. Has anyone else got that yet? Whatever go?
I have two people in mind and I don't know which one it is.
If I was you, damn it, I'd probably just shout it out and give it a go.
Test.
That is correct.
Test. Ah.
Oh, of course, he was Canadian, wasn't he? Oh, yeah.
So, damn it. is on 5, Kiwi's on 5, and Heavy is on 0. So basically, you need to steal both of the next Heavy to have a chance. Moving on then to damage. I was born on November 1st, 1944, in Chicago, Illinois.
1944.
LL does love a good, good old one.
I'm assuming if it's someone that old, it's going to have to be someone really famous, but I don't know.
I'm going to do a clue. I'm going to shout a clue.
I think I know who this is.
I might have said on WrestleCast last week that I might have seen something on this person.
I still think.
I don't know. Go on to the next one.
In my career, I have wrestled, managed, and commentated for companies such as AWA, WCW, and WWF.
Managed and commentated for those.
Oh, come on.
I'm pretty sure I know, but I don't want to get 0 points if I got it completely wrong. I'm not
Battle,
sure.
Battle Creek, Michigan, come on.
Does he have a big brain?
Bye.
Bobby Heenan.
That is correct.
Yes.
Wow, Kiwi. Ooh. He is on.
Isn't he just? He's
so
on.
So it's
fire,
now
man.
8 for Dermot. Heavy is now out. And Kiwi.
You're out.
I'm out. Sorry, that was never in. Kiwi, this is down to you.
Oh, can I beat the Irish Tiger?
Oh, this has been a good one. Kiwi, I was born on July 15th, 1964, in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona. 64. Okay, next one.
My main WWE run was from 2004 to 2009, although I left the company twice during that time. You need to get this one.
Oh, dear. 2004 to 2009. And he left intermittently between the two. 1964.
I think I know who this is. Maybe.
It's quite difficult. Yeah, because Phoenix, Arizona, I usually pay quite close attention to like the Phoenix or Lillian Garcia when they do their announcements on their destinations, because I'm a bit of a geography freak. But
I'm really not, although I don't know if you couldn't guess that.
I was going to say, I'm like, Wayne. Damn, I should have done it at GCSEs.
You might as well give it a go, because...
No, I'm just thinking of Arizona. I mean, my God. WWE. I'm going to say... I can't think of one at all, Wayne. I don't know. Teddy Biossi.
That is incorrect.
I know it's wrong. I know.
Anyone else want to ever go?
I'm going to take a wild stab. I think this is wrong, but a wild stab, Chris Masters.
Nope, incorrect.
Yep, so I thought.
So Heavy's now out. So do you want the next clue?
Now out? I've been out.
Sorry.
Do you want the next one, Dermot, to try and build up your points even more?
Sure, why not? As I said to you before we started, this was the period of time when I was not watching wrestling at all, so I have no idea who it could be, but give me the next clue anyway.
I am billed from Halen from the Bottomless Pit.
Halen from the Bottomless Pit.
The Bottomless Pit.
Next one.
Yeah. Oh! I got it.
Kiwi knows.
Yeah, it's too late. He's out. He's out.
Oh, the Bottomless Pit is the Boogeyman.
Yep.
Yeah, the Boogeyman.
See?
There we go.
That's... Oh, yeah. You wouldn't get Phoenix, Arizona from that. That's a
God
real...
almighty, yeah. No. I would never have guessed that.
Plus, so, you can't really tell his age, can you, really, behind all of that makeup?
No.
There we go. Excuses.
Oh, thanks, LL. Thanks to you, Wayne. But well done.
So basically, thanks for Errol for the questions and the final scores. Kiwi's found his rival. Dermot wins on his debut with 10. Kiwi got 5 and a heavy tried bolting his load too many times early and got 0.
Ah, where's nil point.
Where's Katie when I need her to represent America proud?
I was going to say, you've really not done that this week.
At least we beat the miracle.
Sure, we weren't bad for a bunch of drunks anyway.
Next up, we'll do free chat to end the show then. We'll go with Heavy, because he's always got lots to say. What have you got for free chat, mate?
I kind of believe I've talked about everything. I mean, I could talk about all these new Brits that are popping up, but I mean, that's been pretty much my day.
I've not heard it yet, and I don't follow the room on GroupMe, so that's going to be just as much of a shock for me. And yeah, Living Legend is going to be so angry I just said that.
Well, well, one of them is on this call, and then he's not Irish, so...
Wow. Huh? That's news for me. That's really bad. I'm not going to bury myself anymore. But is there anything else that you want to talk about then, Heavy? It don't have to be wrestling related.
Really
we shocked hit, you ain't
well,
got nothing.
Like, it's like we've hit a lot of, from last night into today. I mean, there's a lot of topics that have been hit. I know the TNA deal. I didn't really get to talk much about that. I let you and DRG and Biohazard go off on it. I'm looking very optimistic right now in TNA. I'm still not going to watch because of the six-sided ring thing, but I feel like this is a dawning of a new day with them. And I mean, I said this last year, but I really feel like now they're starting to build their stars 2.0. It's no longer AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and all them. And like, it seems like they're going to put a little bit more of an emphasis on EC3, Rockstar Spud. I mean, granted, they still have some of the older guys, but it's even Robert Roode and James Storm. Granted, they've been around for a long time, but I didn't feel the same thing with them than I did AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. And now, like I said, they're building these guys. They're getting a deal. They are reported to maybe signing Alberto Del Rio next year. That's probably the best free agent signing that they have had since Christian or Kurt Angle. And that was how long ago for both of them? So... I'm interested in seeing where this goes.
The fact that they've made you come out of your TNA... We're not...
Don't say I'm a hater.
No,
just said,
your retirement as speaking on them is what I was going to say. Because you were just got to the point where I'm not even going to talk about them. The fact that you're now actually bringing them up and actually in quite a positive light is a good step. That means that maybe some other people will fall to it and warm up.
My whole thing is just that six-sided ring. I think the six-sided ring is dumb. I think it's gimmicky, and they should go, okay, we're still wrestling. We are traditional wrestling, but we will be the alternative from WWE, not go, all right, we're the alternative from WWE, and we're going to give you every single type of alternative there is, and that's it. I mean, that's kind of where they lost me, because like you have to blend in and stick out at the same time, and I think they did a little bit too much sticking out.
Has either of the Dermot or Kiwi got anything to add to this?
To TNA?
Yep, for what Heavy was saying.
Yeah, I think they're moving in the right direction. Like Heavy said, they are promoting new stars now. And yeah, I think EC3 is the person that they should be building their company around at the moment, because he has everything that they need to be a top heel.
And of course, I'll be seeing EC3 and Rockstar Spud this Friday night.
Oh, have a good time.
It's
a local show, AIW. It's a show called Hell on Earth. EC3 is going up against Johnny Gargano, and Rockstar Spud is going against Marin Fontaine. You can actually hear more about this on this week's episode of the Ohio Indie Report as soon as I actually get around to getting it posted, because I do have a nice interview prep that I did for that show right after you did WrestleCast. But
oh, is that where you shot off to then?
Yeah, that's where I immediately went. That's why DSJP didn't go up till today. But
tell me more. Where could I find this podcast?
Right now, you can find it at ohioindiereport.podbean.com, also known as Kayfabe Sports. You can look for that on iTunes. Maybe those commercials that played on the allwrestling.com week in review, you need to listen to them because that clearly states where you can find these shows. But I'm really hoping I can get a little soundbite from Rockstar Spud. Maybe I can get Rockstar Spud to say, "We the people."
No! So how are they going to handle EC3 then?
In the interview that I had with one of the guys from AIW, who's one of the commentators, they're saying that he's fine, but I don't know whether that's he's fine, but as soon as, like, you know, the match is about to start, there's going to be something that's going to happen or what. But they're going right now saying he's fine, the match is going to happen.
That's really weird. That's gone from 6 months to he can work stuff, unless it's like pre-op
He's guaranteed to be there. Guaranteed, because before the show they're going to have a special seminar, wrestling seminar. A lot of times when AIW gets these bigger names in, they try to have wrestling seminars for some of the local guys who are still in wrestling school or anything, like people that need the tips to really become bigger names or just help to get out there and anything that can help. Yeah, so him and Rockstar Spud are going to do that before the show. So, okay, and it's at the same place. So they're guaranteed to be there, I would imagine, because it's an EC3's home area. He's going to be there for the Thanksgiving Day weekend. So it's like he's going to might as well be there. He's going to get some money. He's going to probably, I don't know, he's hanging out a little bit. Like I said, they've guaranteed that he will be there, so I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Going on to Kiwi, then. What's your free chat for the week?
Well, I just wanted to let you guys know of like two things. Saturday the 6th of December, for the first time ever, and I'm sad to admit this, but it's true, I'm actually going to my first ever indie show. It's going to be in my local...
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. About time. It's in Portsmouth, my local city from me. It's only 10 minutes down the road. It's Revolution Pro Wrestling, and Brodus Clay, or Tyrus, is going to be there. So I'm quite excited to go and see the big man. But second row seats too. So
that almost sounds familiar.
Yeah?
Well, that's then again, it's like being around PK, and there's a guy that comes around to AIW shows from England who goes to some shows, and I've like maybe heard through some stuff through him. So, I mean, that name sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know. Maybe I'm also getting it mixed with that's Preston City Wrestling, so I don't know.
That's okay. I mean, they're it's Revolution Pro Wrestling. I think they got a website, of course. It's revprowrestling.co.uk, I think. And I've got myself four second row seats, one for me, one for the other half, and two of our friends. So really looking forward to that, actually. And it's about time I got my ass off of my seat and got off there and go and see what's happening locally. The second thing as well is that I've managed to sort myself out with the thanks big notable thanks to my little brother for sorting out a VPN for my WWE network that I've now got.
Hey, you've got it now, have you?
I certainly do, matey, and it's the best thing ever.
So, what a way for you common filth scum to steal from America.
I'm paying into you, America.
In the words of the great American by the name of Irwin R. Scheister, if you British tax cheats would pay your fair share, you wouldn't have to put the burden on the royal family.
I just think that says everything about the wait for the network, that even someone as I was going to say straight as Kiwi, but I think you know what I meant by that.
Oh dear.
I have a feeling Impact Wrestling is the closest the Kiwi gets to TNA.
I honestly, I got to the point like a couple of weeks ago that I'm just like, honestly, fuck it. I'm fed up of waiting now. My brother is a little bit more techie than what I am. I've worked with computers for God knows how long. But my little brother, Connell, did it, and he loved it. And he was like, God, Kieran, you got to do it. So that's another
The fact that it's so easy to do as well, isn't it? And...
Oh, it is so easy. I mean, I watched him do it, and I was like, really? Is that how you do it? Bloody hell. I don't mind paying, you know, my way to get hold of it.
It only for me, it only adds like £1.50 on.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what it is, Wayne. You know, for your buying the rights for the server over in the States. So you know, it's fine, and I'm absolutely loving it. I've watched so much from it. I watched the Randy Savage special, which I implore anybody to go and have a look at that. Because
was that the half an hour one, or have you actually seen the full length?
Yeah, the half hour one, mate. Yeah. Even though I thought the genius look, Lanny Puffo looked so creepy. It was weird. I'm not exaggerating. You just come across as some type of, you know, the scary man who would stand at the end of the church or gate or the school gate, and he just looked like a right weirdo.
That was the brother, weren't it?
Yeah, Randy's brother, the genius.
I caught the full length one on a certain website. Where if you want to get it, let me know. I'll send the links to you.
If you wanted to watch wrestling, then you might be able to do it.
Yes, you might be able.
definitely, over in Switzerland, specifically on Swiss car plates, they've got CH on them, so might be worth it.
Since I'm tapped into this call, NSA, are you hearing this? please let me know.
Yeah, CIA, call me. I implore anybody to go and seek out and give it a go, because I don't know if we're going to be getting it on before WrestleMania or not. I don't know. But
it's January, I think. That's when the Sky deal new one is starting. Surely they've got the common sense before they signed it a couple of months ago that the WWE Network was in that deal. So that's got to be January. I think they were just trying to move it on early, and Sky has been stubborn and gone, nope.
Yeah, I mean, they've been using it. They've been using all sorts of different excuses, saying, and it's nothing to do with them, it's all the WWE. I think there's a bit of both in this pie here. But Sky are stubborn enough to say that they weren't a part of it, so.
Pie.
So,
exactly.
Kiwi says, get your VPN and stop waiting, because it's really good. And I've got to admit, I love it as well, so it's well worth the... How much I pay, like £11 something a month in total, that's nothing. So
exactly. Couldn't agree more, Wayne. Couldn't agree more.
Going on to Dermot then. There we go, I think I got it again. What's your free chat?
I just wanted to talk about Lucha Underground, since we haven't mentioned it at all so far. And
still not seen it, and I keep meaning to, and obviously the more weeks that go by, the harder it will be to catch up from episode one.
Well, at least they're only an hour long, so there's not too much to catch up on. Like, you can get through it pretty quick. You could get through a few episodes in a row
Four at the time of a Raw, can't I, sir?
Yeah. Although, if you watch Raw like I do, you skip a lot of stuff, so you couldn't get through it that quick. No, but Lucha Underground, so far I haven't been skipping anything. I've been enjoying all of it. It's completely different presentation to anything else that's out there, and the main thing I can say about Lucha Underground is it has made me care about Chavo Guerrero for the first time ever, so it's obviously doing something right.
Everyone is gushing about how good this show is, and I've not heard anyone really hammer the show. They're just saying maybe the female violence is a bit too much, but the show is good. Heavy, have you seen it yet?
No, because me being out on the road, I just don't get a chance to. But the only thing I'm happy about it that I keep hearing is that my boy Matt Cross is doing really well in it and getting a chance to shine once again. A guy who was on Tough Enough, Wrestling Society X, Backyard Wrestling DVDs when those were big. So it's a guy that's been at it for close to 15 years, and he's still going strong.
And Kiwi, have you managed to catch a stream of it yet? Or
yeah, certainly have, buddy. I watched the first episode and the second episode. For me, it's my true alternative to the WWE. I've really fallen off the bandwagon of TNA at the moment. Just my own personal way that I've just haven't really been interested. But Lucha Underground is really something different. The way that they film it and the way that they have been
every segment and every storyline means something. And even though Chavo hit a woman over the head with a steel chair, which I thought in 2014 is just something I really didn't expect, and he went friggin' loopy. John Morrison, I've always loved John Morrison, even though I realised that his promo skills were never great in WWE, his skill set and what he does in the ring were always, I was in awe. I thought he was an absolutely fantastic wrestler, and seeing him thrive in an environment like Lucha Underground and the wrestlers, you know, calling the arena a temple is something different, and I just love the feel of it. And I'm very, very hopeful that, you know, all of the characters and all of the wrestlers can thrive there. And I love the fact, and the connectivity between Stryker and Vampiro is quite something special and different. And, you know, it's quite funny to see Conan in his current state at the moment. I did giggle at his beer gut.
From the tiny clips that I've seen, that's got more of a movie feel about it, isn't it?
Oh, completely. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, because it's unlike normal TV shows. This is actually shot on film. I believe that's the correct term. It's shot on film.
Yeah, I think so.
So, try to remember what it said. Like, normal shows are shot a certain way, and this is shot on film, kind of like movies. So that's why you're getting that feel from it.
And also, the crowd are more extras, aren't they? They're sort of more plants and stuff than. Am I right in thinking that, or the crowd are sort of casually sort of there, or are they actually sitting around like a TNA and a Raw?
I'm not sure. They seem to be a lot more engaged with what's happening in the ring than what you would casually see in a TNA or a Ring of Honor or a WWE ring. But it certainly adds to the TV show, and it just makes it a really compelling product. And good on Lucha Underground. I mean, I just hope it continues. I mean, I would have thought that they're going to be doing series of these shows.
Yeah, well, they've already got the bookings ready for series two in mid-January.
Fantastic.
So, obviously, with every series that they do, it's going to hopefully go up and evolve and progress and... You got to remember, this is like the first series with absolutely no reputation. And if they're already pulling a great show, then it's only going to get better. So I've really got to give it a go before it gets too daunting to catch up.
Please do, guys. If you ever get an opportunity, do. Because I don't think you will ever be disappointed.
There we go. We'll leave the show there for today then. If you'd like to email us, it's secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Twitter is @secondshiftpod. You can find me at Wayne's a Baker. Where can we find you, Kiwi?
You can find me on Twitter @KiwiTuts, or you can follow my personal journal podcast, The Tuts Experience.
There we go, plug.
Oh, at Tuts Experience. And just as well, as all of you probably know, I'm a crazy Eurovision Song Contest fan, and I got my own show on my local radio station, 92.3 Forest FM, and I'm uploading my shows onto my feed of the Tuts Experience on iTunes, Podomatic, and all the other different podcast platforms. So you can download and listen to those shows too, as well, if you fancy some European flavour in your day.
And Heavyset, where can we find you other than Devil Vamp's Plenty of Fish profile?
Why would I be at his?
That's what
you can find me at mine.
Your LinkedIn is a couple.
No, we're talking about Plenty. We're talking about Plenty of Fish, not LinkedIn. It's two different websites. Anyway.
Oh yes. Excuse me.
You can find me at Heavyset330, at KFave Sports, at Ohio Report, at NFL Easy Picks. At Anything Goes KFS, OhioIndieReport.podbean.com, like all those on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, take care, spike your hair.
And Dermot, I hope you enjoyed your first episode, and where can we find you?
I did indeed. Well, you will be able to find me at DermotPC on Twitter. If anyone can actually figure out how to spell my name, I'll be impressed. I'll follow them back. And if you are really interested in listening to me and two other Irish people get drunk and talk about WrestleMania 1 for about an hour and a half, you can search BGA Wrestling Podcast on Daily Motion, and there's a video up there. There will be more coming soon.
So it's like a regular Tuesday.
Pretty much, yeah. Except it was a Wednesday. So
awesome.
And there we have it. I hope you enjoyed the show, guys. And until next week, bye.
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 Hello.